for you. He's for you. He's for you. Listen, why do we keep repeating that over and over and over and over and over again? Why do we do that? Because listen, you need to be reminded that He is for you. He is not against you. And you need to know that. You need to be firm in that, guys. And we got to say it over and over sometimes. And you got to get, listen, He goes before you. He goes behind you. He's on the left. He's on the right. He's everywhere you go. You need to be reminded of that. And here we're reminding you of that today, that listen, you are blessed. And here's the deal. We're not sitting here seeking this blessing. You have that blessing. You are blessed. You are blessed. And it's not just for you, but it's for you and it's for your children and your children's children. Amen? Amen. All right. Wow. Man, I'm almost like, let's do that one more time, but we ain't got time for that. You guys have a seat. Man, you guys have a seat. All right, man. I'll tell you what. Hope everybody's doing good this morning. Listen, we've been on this journey together. We've been on this journey of rhythms of endurance. Rhythms of endurance. And man, I hope you guys have been able to listen to those other messages and be a part of that. But you know, guys, it just seems like this past year, we just kind of got thrown off our rhythm. You know, sitting at home, doing Zoom and doing and not being, it's just we've got thrown out of our rhythms. And we really felt like as a staff that, man, we just need to encourage the people and remind the people, let's get back on some rhythms. Amen. And we've been looking at three things. We've been looking at faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Amen. So you guys, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're online with this, man, there's notes online. You can click on the link in the comment section and get all the links that you need. You can text 97,000, Brownwood to 97,000. You can get those links as well. I know some people are getting tired of that. You know why we keep telling you to text Brownwood to 97,000? To remind you to text Brownwood to 97,000, right? Right, because I know people, I want to see those phones up. Listen, we live in a digital world. You can't sit back and not do digital. I'm sorry, you can't. You just can't do it anymore. You're going to get drugged, all right? Just letting you know. 1 Corinthians 13:13, this is where this is where we took our keynote. This is our key scripture for this series. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So listen, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about hope. And now we're going to talk about love. And listen, love really does tie everything together. It really is the bow on the package. And we're going to look at this today. Endurance, guys. We've been talking about these rhythms of endurance. What does it mean to endure? What does it mean to endure? Endurance is the fact of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation. Anybody ever had to go through something difficult or a process is difficult? Yeah, I see one hand up. Here we go. You know what, guys? We've had to go through some things. Last year, we had to go through some things. But here's the deal. Last year wasn't the only year that we've had difficult things. We've all had to go through difficult things, right? Check this out. It says, endurance is the capacity of something to withstand wear and tear. As soon as I heard that definition, wear and tear, I immediately thought of an old tire. Tire, you look at tires and you check of the wear and tear on there. You rotate them. You do things to those tires to keep them from exploding before they're supposed to explode. You don't want them to explode at all, right? And if you're in a race, if you're a race car driver and you're in a race, you want those tires to withstand the wear and tear so you can finish the race strong. And sometimes as believers, guys, our tires blow out before they're supposed to, right? We're not enduring the wear and tear. We're letting the wear and tear get to us, right? And it's keeping us from finishing the race strong in a lot of areas in our lives. Amen. Anybody out there testify to that? I know sometimes life, it wears on us. It grinds on us. But listen, we want to look at some things that will help us endure and get through tough circumstances and hard times. Amen. Pastor Craig, he kicked off the series talking about faith. And he said, faith is the ability to move imagination towards reality. Faith brings God's dreams for us into focus despite our circumstances. One of the things that tough times will do, if we're not careful, they'll stop us from dreaming. They'll stop us from having those positive imaginations toward God and His promises. Amen? So as he brought that, Pastor Frankie talked about hope. And Pastor Frank said, hope is a joyful expectation, a feeling of trust or being confident in God's promises and faithfulness. And as you can see, faith and hope, they just come together like this, right? If you've got faith and hope, hope is that imagination. Hope is that, man, I can see myself. I can see myself receiving those promises. And faith will bring it to pass. Amen? Amen. Some of us need that stirring up. As I was looking at this, 1 Corinthians 13, if you go back up another verse or two from our key verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8, I think this really brings everything together a little better. Check this out. I like this. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I seen faith and I seen hope in there. But listen, faith and hope was working really well because love was present. Amen. It was working really well because love was present. Check this out. Love believes. It stirs up our faith. It wakes it up. It brings it to life. And sometimes, man, if you have faith for something, maybe it's some one of your loved ones that you've got faith that they're gonna, I don't know, be born again, be maybe pulled out of something. If you, the more love you have for that person, it seems like the more faith you have that you're gonna see that come to pass. Amen. Hope. Love hopes. Love rekindles our imagination and helps us dream again. Man, I have a dream. I have a dream of a cabin on property. And I'm serious. Like, I dream about this at times, and I can smell the room. I can feel the wood. I can see the view out my back balcony as the deer come to the feeder and the big lake out back where there's 3.5-pound crappie and 10 pounds. Okay, sorry, but you know what? You see how positive that is to just sit and imagine and dream with God. Amen? And love does what? It hopes. It hopes. Love endures, guys. It cannot be stopped. Love cannot be stopped. I was reminded of this story in between services. Have you ever seen the statue of Ramses? You ever seen it? I don't know if you've ever seen it. You get online and look at a statue of Ramses in ancient Egypt. They have actually done digital, scanned it electronically, trying to figure out how they made this thing. Did you know that they figured out that they made half of it at one time and then they did the other half at the other? But what's crazy, they're identically, they're like perfect. Each side is perfect. Like when they measure them, they're like, how did they do that? And it's supposedly they use what, like little chisels or something? They actually think they took rock and rubbed. Until they got it perfect. And then they took a rock and they rubbed on the other side and just stone against stone against stone until it was polished smooth, until the sides of this statue match perfect. That's what love does a lot of times. That's what love, you say, what do you mean? It's just, you start loving on someone, it's just, and it just can't be stopped. You just keep doing it, you keep doing it until it gets them to where they need to be. It just grinds on them. I feel like that sometimes. You're just loving someone, and they're like, I don't want you to love me. And you're like, I'm going to love you anyways. And it's just, just rubbing on them. Can't be stopped. And over time, you look, and you say, oh, what? Look at that. Wow. Look at that. Look what come out of that. And if you're loving on someone, I want to encourage you today, do not stop. Do not stop. Keep rubbing on them. All right, guys, let's get going, man. Listen, I want to talk about the fact that you've been loved from the beginning. You've been loved from the very, very beginning. And it seems like, guys, that we've kind of forgotten that. I don't know, maybe you haven't. Maybe you're there, but I just feel like all the mess that's happening, everything we've taken our focus off of, that we've been loved from the very beginning, and we're looking at everything else. And we've kind of forgotten that God has loved us from the beginning. Why would he stop loving us now? Right? I want you to look in Genesis chapter, well, you don't have to look right now because there's a lot of verses. I'm not going to read it to you, but Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, if you look at that, look at all the things that God provided for Adam and Eve. He provided everything for them, a perfect world, a perfect God, a perfect situation. Can you see the love of God there? I think it's kind of interesting. God never said, I love you, but he demonstrated it. He demonstrated it. Everything that God did for Adam and Eve was an act of love. And he met with them in the cool of the garden every day. That would be awesome. That he would come and walk amongst them and you would have face-to-face relationship with them. But in this perfect world where Adam and Eve lacked absolutely nothing and they met with the love of God every day, something happened. And we all know what happened, right? Broken relationship. A broken relationship. And we know the story how Eve eats of the fruit, whatever it is. Everybody thinks it's an apple. I know all the pictures, but some kind of fruit. She ate of it. She wasn't supposed to, right? And then Adam eats of it too. And this broken relationship comes into play. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, I want to walk you through this and kind of show you some process here of what happened and how that relates to us today. Genesis 3, 9 through 13. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Everybody say afraid. All right, let's do that one more time. Say afraid. All right, remember that word. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?" Everybody say commanded. All right, we've got afraid and commanded. Let's go to the next one. Then the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Everybody say deceived. Deceived. All right, we've got three words here we're going to look at. We're going to look at afraid, we're going to look at command, and we're going to look at deceived. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, very, very familiar scripture, one of my wife's favorite scriptures. It says, "There is no fear in love." There's no fear in love. "But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You see, when Adam and Eve fell, when they chose to eat of that fruit, they stopped being perfected by the love of God. They stopped being perfected by the love of God. What does that mean? Does that mean they were made like perfect, like there's no flaws in them? That's not exactly what it's talking about. It really refers to a maturity, a growing up in the Lord. They stopped growing in the Lord because of what they did. Think about this in your own life. Think about this in others' lives. It seems like a lot of times we have these insecurities in us, these things that we feel like we're not good enough, we don't measure up. I'm just thinking about Adam. Adam's like, "Uh-oh, I messed up, here comes God." You ever been in the house when you're in trouble and your mama says something like, "Wait till your daddy gets home," and you hear your daddy coming and you feel the, "Oh, goodness." I wonder if that's how Adam felt. But here's the deal. Was God mad at Adam? Was he mad at Adam? I don't think he was mad at Adam. Not like we think he was mad at Adam. We've kind of projected that onto God. We think God was angry and going to come smash down on him. But no. But Adam is just having this internal war. God is mad at me, this and that. And just on and on and on and on it goes in his mind. And instead of being perfected by love, he runs from love. Wow. Instead of being perfected by love, he comes up with excuses why he can't relate to love in the proper way now. Did y'all see that? Was it God's fault? Did God quit pursuing? Not at all. It was us. It was mankind. Mankind drew back. You ever had feelings like, I don't deserve this healing. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve these things. Anybody ever have feelings? I have feelings like that sometimes. I have to say, no, that's not what I need to be thinking. All this, I believe, was birthed out of this. This separation from God, this broken relationship with God. And man just starts coming up with all these reasons. And literally what we started doing was we started projecting our feelings on God. The way we felt about ourselves, we started thinking that God thought that way about us. And that's not true at all. That is not the way God thinks, but a lot of times we think that. And what did it do? It caused Adam to draw back. It caused him to hide. Man. Look at the next one. It's commanded. I love this verse. Listen, when I was in junior high, we went to camp, and this was our theme verse. I'll never forget this verse. It's John 14, 15. "If you love me, you will obey my commands." If you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, let's think about this. Adam, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Uh-oh, what'd you do? What'd you do? Listen, I feel like they started to not trust God. "Now, God, I don't know, because this little snake over here is saying these things, and I'm not quite sure that what you're saying is best for me. Not quite sure." You know what I'm saying? They start reasoning in their head in a way they shouldn't reason in their head. They start questioning God. They start questioning his love for them. Something's not going right there. There's broken trust. Where's the love? Where's the love? God's commands for them were not burdensome. They weren't something that was going to hurt them. It was protect them and keep them safe. And they all of a sudden couldn't recognize that. And they withdrew. The next one, the last one, was deceived. Deceived. Colossians 2:8. Listen, this is New Testament now, but listen to this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Isn't that what the devil was doing? Throwing some philosophy out there that wasn't God's. Getting them to think a different way. This philosophy, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it brings destruction. What's the way that seems right? The way that seems right to man is the way that the enemy tricked us into living, which is a selfish, self-centered life. And right there, we see they got deceived by this deceit. Listen, humanity believed the lies of the enemy. Lies were believed. It doesn't matter whether they're about ourselves or about God, but what they did was they shifted the focus off of the love God had for us onto other things. Man became, oh, we got self-preservation. It wasn't me, it was her. She did it. Oh, it wasn't me, he did it. The snake deceived. Why are they doing that? Why are they shifting blame? You know, they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. It's self-preservation. Their motives in their heart totally changed from, hey, God, meet with me in the garden, to, I don't know. I don't think we should meet. I don't, you know, I'm not really sure about this thing. Check this out. If you are ever in the desert, what was that? I watched this movie not too long ago, The Flight of the Phoenix. Anybody ever seen that? It's pretty cool. They crash in the desert in a plane and have to escape. And here's the deal about that. Like, if you were in the desert and you needed to get out of the desert, one of the worst things you can do is just take off walking. That's not good. Especially if you're a little bit dehydrated, you're not going to make it. But what they figured out, even scientists have figured this out, if you walk, anywhere you walk, if you're not focusing on a spot, you'll walk in a circle. Because your what? Your right foot, if you're right-handed, your right foot will actually, you'll have a little bit bigger step, a little bit longer step. And as you walk in the desert, you'll actually end up back where you started. You'll walk circles in the desert. You're going to die in the desert. Yeah? You know what happens when we get our focus off God's love? We start walking in the desert. We start doing circles. And that's exactly what mankind did. And if you look at the mankind from Adam and Eve all the way to Jesus, all the way even to now, what did they do? Decline, 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 decline. Why? Walk in circles, focusing on the wrong things, self-preservation. Amen? Listen, believing a lie as if it is true will affect you as if it is true. Let me say that again. Believing a lie as if it is true will affect you as if it is true. Right? I heard a story. Now, this is a crazy story. These guys are training elephants. And they take a baby elephant. They tie his foot to a stake in the ground with a rope. And he can't get away from it. So when they're training him, they're doing all this stuff. If he tries to run, he can't get away. I mean, it's just like tying a horse up or something, right? But what's crazy is as the elephant grows, they don't graduate to a chain or a cable. They keep the small rope. And the elephant, over time, he's trained to believe that he can't get away from that rope. And as that elephant is massive, and it could just and break that rope, it doesn't because it believes he can't. How many of us are trapped in things because we believe we can't get out? We just believe it. We just like, oh, well, I'll never do this. I can never be that. I'll never receive healing from God because blah, 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 blah. I'll never have a positive relationship because of this. You never will. Because you believe the lies, if it is true, and it's going to affect you as if it is true. Amen? Stop believing the lie. Listen, the sin of humanity did not affect God's love for us. It did not affect God's love for us. And I believe, man, we believe that just because we messed up that God doesn't love us anymore. And you say, oh, I know that's not true. But sometimes we believe it, even though we know it, but we believe something else than what we know because we act like it. Yeah, and in our heart, we're really mad at God because he didn't come through with it. He didn't come through for me for this, this, and this. I'll tell you what, guys, I've caught myself before getting mad at God because he didn't give me the parking lot I wanted. I've done it, and I thought, well, that was dumb. Where did that come from? Somewhere in my heart. Just stupid. I think that God's, I'm the blessing of the Lord of the parking lot. Just open up at Walmart, and after I've gone around the circle 17 times, just go park in the back and walk in. Need to exercise anyways. Yeah? The sin of humanity didn't affect God's love for us, but it did affect our love for him and each other. Uh-oh. That's where it took effect. That's where it took effect. Listen, God's loved you from the beginning. He's never stopped loving you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that anything that you could do to get him to quit loving you. Nothing. You name it. It doesn't matter. He still loves you. I'm not saying there's not consequences to things we do, but a lot of those things, they're natural consequences. It isn't God doing that to you. He still loves you. He's loved you from the beginning. Check this out. Romans 5, 7 through 9. It says, now who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly, when we were still messing up, living a terrible, horrible life. And don't lie and say you come out perfect, right? We know God still loved us. He still loved us. You know what? The person that is born that will never come to know Jesus, he still loves them. Just as much as he loves you. Think about it. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight, and because of the sanctification of Jesus, or the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. He loved you from the beginning. He had a plan from the beginning. He's been pursuing you from the beginning. He's pursuing you right now. I guarantee you, he is, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think you've done, he's pursuing you. His love is for you. John 15, 13, in the Passion Translation. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. The very next scripture, Jesus says to his disciples, and now I call you friends. Wow. To die for someone, that would be tough. But the greatest sacrifice of all, listen, he sent his son to die for you. Why? Because he loved you from the beginning. He loved you from the beginning. Psalm 136, 26, give thanks to God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. For have we lived out forever yet? So when has God's love stopped for you? It hasn't. It hasn't. One last verse here that I want to talk about with this point. I love this. Psalm 139. If you've never read Psalm 139, you need to go read the whole thing because it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. But listen to this, verse 17 through 18. It says, how precious are your thoughts about me? You ever think about what God thinks about you? I bet you what God thinks about you is not what you think about yourself. I bet you what God thinks about you is a lot higher than what we think about ourselves. Check that out. Yeah, it says they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Yeah, we get that in the New Testament, right? He will never leave you, never forsake you. Sometimes I think we forget that. We need to be reminded of that. He never leaves you, never forsake you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at, where you're going. Listen, guys, since we've been through this time, we've kind of got knocked off our rhythm. We need to develop a rhythm of meditating on scriptures that declare God's love for you. We need to develop a rhythm of that. Meditate on scriptures. Why? So they reinforce that God loves you. Because here's the deal. Circumstances will come against you to get you to stop loving God. You think bad things happen in your life are because of God? No, they're not because of God. They're the enemy trying to get you to stop loving God. They're trying to get you to stop trusting in God and believing in God. And we always want to blame God because we think, oh, well, God, you love me and blah, 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 blah. No, listen, he never stopped loving you. He's never given up on you. That bad thing that happened in your life, he was there for you. He was there for you in it. He was there for you on the other side of it, all the way through it, right? But the enemy's sitting there just rubbing his hands going, okay, this thing, this one thing, maybe they'll stop loving God. Maybe they'll start blaming God and draw back. Because here's the deal. As soon as you start blaming God and you start drawing back, guess what? Perfect love. Whoa, where's that perfect love that comes in to perfect you? Right? And here's the deal, guys. When you're afraid, it's the perfect moment. It's the perfect moment to go get perfected. It's the perfect moment to run to God and say, where's your love? Love, perfect me. Make me whole. Mature me. Grow me up. Bring me through this. Amen? So we need to develop rhythms of that. Find scriptures, guys, and meditate on them. Have them ready. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something right now, guys. 2020 is not the only year that bad things have happened. And I can tell you there's going to be some things happening in 2021 to some people that y'all don't like very much. And I'm sorry, that's just the way. Jesus says, listen, in this life you will have trouble. Things are not going to get better before he comes. They're going to get worse. And if we think, oh, we had a hard time getting through that, how are we going to get through these other things? Right? The key is to focus on him, to focus on his love. And just no matter what happens, he's going to get you through it. Right? We've got to get in a rhythm of that, and we can't be questioning God's love every time something don't happen our way. So, check this out. As we're going through this, I just had this question, and maybe you've thought about it before, but I just want to run through this question with you. Why do you think God commanded us to love him? He commanded us to love. It's like part of the Old Testament law. It's not that, hey, it's probably a good idea that you love me. It's a command. Love me. Love me with all your heart, all your soul, your mind. Y'all know the scripture, right? In the New Testament, we see it twice. We see it in Matthew and Luke, but they add a little bit of something to it. Jesus says, hey, love Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also love your neighbor as yourself, right? The first is the greatest, but guess what? The second one is just like it. Wow. And I was thinking about that. Why? What's the connection here to love and all this? And here's the deal. From Adam and Eve all the way to Moses, what was the law? What did they go by? There was no law, right? Really. God was like, hey, love each other, love me, everything's going to be okay. And how did that turn out for them? It didn't turn out so well, did it? Because by the time we get to Noah, God's just like, whoa, if I don't do something quick, I can't get Jesus in here because there ain't going to be no righteous people left, right? So what? The flood, and we're not going to go into that. But after that, then we get to Moses, and he's just like, something has to be done here. Because sin is killing these people. They're not loving each other. They're not loving me. They're walking in the desert, right? Going round and round and round. So he brings the law. But what does the law make them do? Behave. It makes them do what's right. Here's the law makes them love him. It makes them love their neighbor. But here was the problem that I seen. There's no heart change. There's absolutely no heart change. They're made to do it because they're afraid of punishment. They're afraid of it. If I don't do this, if I commit adultery, guess what the punishment is? Those guys are picking up stones. And some of the guys that I hung around with, I don't want them throwing a stone at me. 87-mile-an-hour fastball to the head, I'm done. So what am I going to do? I'm going to behave, right? I'm going to do what's right, not because my heart has changed, because I'm afraid of the punishment and the fear. Yeah? And that's what I've seen here. And I see even when Jesus was challenging these Pharisees in this, saying, you got to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, he knew they couldn't do it. He knew they couldn't. And they're sitting there going, we've done that, I think. And then he says, oh, yeah, but guess what? You got to love your neighbor as yourself. And they're like, oh, well, who's our neighbor? I don't know about it. They knew in their heart that their heart hadn't changed. They were just doing it because God said to do it. God said to do it. There was a fear in them of punishment and things like that. But listen. Check this out. In Ezekiel 36, this is a prophecy of Jesus and what Jesus would do. In Ezekiel 36, 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Amen. I needed that. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference from just keeping the judgment, the statutes, and all those things from having a heart of stone and a heart of flesh? Well, here's the deal. Now, when I don't commit adultery, it's because I love you and I love your husband or your wife or whatever, depending on what gender you are, right? We don't want to get into that. I don't take your stuff. I don't come steal your four-door Polaris Ranger that I'm desiring in my heart. Because I love you, and if I love you enough, you'll take me to the ranch and drive me around in it, eh? Things like that. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to come against you because I genuinely love you, and I don't need the law set out in front of me. I don't need it. It's written on my heart. Amen? Are y'all catching what I'm saying here? There's a heart change here. There is a heart change where I genuinely love someone, and because I love someone, I'm actually keeping the law. If you look at the Ten Commandments, five are about God, five are about people. Love God, love people. If I love you, God, if I truly love you, I'm not going to do anything against you. And if I do something against you on accident, because I don't mean to. Guess who I'm running to? I'm going to go to you because I love you, and I'm going to apologize and say, please forgive me. That looks a little different than Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Looks a lot different than all those people that come after them. Yeah, when they're killing each other, Cain and Abel, and here we go. They're trying to do what's right, but there's no heart change. So what does it matter, right? What does it matter? Because here's the deal. The born-again experience, guys, results in a new heart and spirit that leads to a restored relationship with God. It leads to a restored relationship with God. And you're like, well, that's fine. Why? Why? Because of the image of God inside of you. What does that have to do with anything? Listen, he restores the image inside of you. So follow me here. God is love. Matter of fact, 1 John 4, if you read all of that, it says it twice in there. God is love. If God is love, guess who's the image of love? You and me. You're the image of love. The born-again experience restores that image, and now you're the image of love, so you can not just receive God's love, you can give God's love. Wow, that's a big difference. That's a huge heart change. Guys, we're called to be imitators of God. How can we imitate something that we don't have inside of us? How can we do that? How can we actually be an authentic representation of God if it's just a cheap copy of it and you're trying to do it, but your heart really isn't in it? Look at this, Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. And continue to walk, surrender to the extravagant love of Christ, for he has surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us, right? His great love for us, which we call into question a lot of times, his great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma. And on it goes. What God did for us and his love for us and what Jesus ultimately did for us was very pleasing to the Father. But listen, it caused something to happen inside of us. So we're not just a recipient of God's love. We can give it away. Listen, guys, we are to be transformed by his love. We're to reproduce after and multiply it, and we're to be just like it. We're to be just like it. I know some people, it just feels like sometimes you're like, what, I'm supposed to be the love of God? Yeah. We've taught so long that you're just here to go to heaven. Do you just say this prayer and you get to go to heaven? Guys, I can tell you right now, that is nowhere in the Scripture. And if you want to talk to me afterwards and show me where it's in the Scripture, I'll stop teaching that. That is not why we do that. The reason we say that prayer is just to help us express what's already in our heart, that you are Lord, and I'm giving my life to you. I'm picking up my cross, and I'm following you. And there's a heart change that happens inside of you. So now, when you're not just receiving that love, but you're giving that love everywhere you go. Amen? Guys, we are designed from the very beginning. We were designed to be an expression and an extension of God's love. You're supposed to be expressing God's love and extending God's love everywhere you go and to whoever you come in contact with. And here's the deal. When we're in tough times, when we're struggling, when corona is everywhere, and guys, where people are dying, which is horrible, we know that. My parents were in the hospital, and I didn't know. I dropped my parents off the hospital, and they said, you can't be here. Go. I didn't know what was going to happen. I know, guys, things are going crazy. But here's the deal. Here is the deal. I cannot focus on those things. I can't fix my focus on those things. I have to develop a rhythm of expressing and extending God's love, because when I get my eyes off of those things, that's when trouble comes. That's when my mind begins to war against me. Yeah, does your mind war against you sometimes? Try to get you to think things that are not true? We have to keep our focus on, listen, I'm going to receive it, God, and I'm going to be secure in that. I'm not going to question that love. Why? So that I can give it away. So that I can give it away. And I've been in things. I've been in places where the person that is giving the love away is sitting there watch as their loved one is dying. But they're sitting there loving on her. How do they do that? Their heart is changed because the love of God has been shed abroad upon it. And they're not just, you know, getting loved by God, and they're not just keeping the rules and regulations. They've become what God said they could become, the very love of God. And everywhere they go, they're extending that. Everywhere they go. So listen, we got some things that we've come up with just to help nudge you a little bit into developing these rhythms. So we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to be posting things that we're going to be challenging you guys to do. Listen, they're for you to do. They're for you to do. For you to do these things to help kickstart these rhythms. Okay? I'm going to go through these real quick, and then Pastor Craig's going to come up and share with you a little bit more of what you can do to develop some healthy rhythms. First of all, guys, I want you to find one scripture that declares God's love, and I want you to meditate on it. Because here's the deal. We're forgetful people. We're forgetful. We quit reading the scripture. We stop reading the word. We'll start questioning God's love for us. And listen, when it's challenged, it's awesome to have a scripture. You just go to that scripture and start, that's my scripture. I read that and I know God loves me. God demonstrated his love for me that while I was yet a sinner. Amen? So I'm going to challenge you to do that. That's our Monday challenge. Tuesday, what's your favorite song about God's love? There's a ton of songs. I'm not going to start singing for you guys, but I was thinking of two of them, just bam, bam. But put that on repeat, guys, and share it with somebody. There's something about music. Music bypasses this thing. It bypasses the mind and goes straight to your soul. And sometimes we just need to put a good song on about God's love. Help us get through tough times. Right? Here's another one. I love this one. This is our Wednesday thing. I want you to call or text someone, and I want you to share with them. Okay, this is someone that I want you to share with them how much you appreciate when they shared God's love with you. Think about it. There's somebody, you didn't just hear from the sky. Somebody shared God's love with you. You went through a tough time and somebody came and shared God's love with you. I want you to call and text that person and tell them how much you appreciate them. Because I bet you their timing was right on time when they shared that with you. Because God's whispering to them, go share that love with them. Amen? And the last one is, I want you to, this is kind of fun, I think, but I dare you to do this. Perform one random act of kindness. Whatever day you want to do it, I don't care. Do it. We need to be doing that always. But I want you to perform a random act of kindness. And if that person will let you, I want you to take a picture of their smiling face, put it on our page on Facebook, and share that with us. You don't have to tell us what you did. Maybe you just do something simple. You bring them a Sonic drink, because that's my love language right there, right? Bring me a Sonic drink, you know, a cherry limeade. I'm going to be smiling, you know. But here's the deal. You've got to start somewhere. If you're not already developed in this rhythm, start somewhere. Do something. Random act of kindness. You know what your wife likes, guys. Bless her. Show up at work. Just saying. All right? You guys with me? All right. I'll tell you what. Pastor Craig's going to come up. He's going to share a little bit more about some things you can do to extend God's love to others. So y'all give it up for Pastor Craig. Come on.
Craig Redbarn.
Wow. Did you get it? Did you hear? What a great message. Did you hear that we have received, no matter what you do, you have been given God's love. Every man, woman, and child that has ever been born or ever will be born is birthed and is born with the image of God on the inside of them. They were made with God's love imprinted into their DNA. Part of the very fiber of who you are has been made in God's love. You can't outrun it. You can't get away from it. You can't hate him enough to get the love out of your DNA. The very fact that you have a DNA is the impression of God's love to give you life and life in abundance. We sing a song, this is the air I breathe, the very fact that you can breathe and suck in oxygen is evidence of God's love for you. How quickly we forget that we cannot refuse the love of God. Oh, we can refuse Jesus in our lives, and we can turn to other religions, and we can do whatever we like, but we cannot run away from the fact that you exist because of God's love. How cool is that? So if it's completely yours, from before you were even born, it was yours. From before you even acknowledged that God was good in your life, it was yours. If it's impossible to earn it and it was just given to you, highlighted by Jesus, it didn't come with Jesus. God didn't loved the world, so he sent. No, he loved the world before he even made it. That's why he made it. It was just highlighted by Jesus. It was just allowed to be comprehended by the human mind through Jesus. It was just so humans could get a glimpse of that love that Jesus came. But that love existed long before you could even comprehend of even your own existence. So if it's, we can't earn it. It's just been given to us. What are we doing running around like chickens without a head, trying to prove that God ought to love me? What are we doing? We're trying to prove that God should give me a gift that he's already given without me doing anything to receive it. I was at church today, you know. Wow, that guy must love Jesus. When he scores a touchdown, he makes the sign of the cross. Whatever. Or that person can't possibly love God, and God can't possibly love those people, those blue people, those red people. God can't possibly love those like he loves me. You haughty, prideful individual. And then the flip side is also true. Oh, I've done so much wrong that I've actually out-sinned God's love. Eugene, being just as prideful. You're thinking higher than your issues than God's love is. You're thinking higher of your situation than what God loves you. You're being just as prideful. So it's time for us to shift, church, in our appreciation and our approach to God's love. It is not about trying to receive it. It's about trying to give it. Nothing we can do can get God to love me more. Nothing I can do can make God love me less. So my entire existence is based on one thing and one thing alone, looking for any and all possibilities to show God's love. Did you come to church today ready to give somebody else a word, or did you come to church today because you wanted to receive? If God's written the word of God on your heart, you've already got it all. You don't need to come to church to receive a word. You've already got it all. You come to church to fellowship, to incite others to what? Love and fine works. Come prepared next week. Find a face next week. Find someone during the week to just go, God loves you. I want you to know that God loves you. Not you need Jesus, liberals. No, just find somebody to express the gift. And you know what? By you telling them that God loves them, you're not giving them God's love. You're awakening in them the realization that they too were loved since the beginning of time. We sometimes walk around going, I've got the love of Jesus and I need to give it to you. Like that person doesn't have the love of Jesus. Can we get clarity on this love thing? Everybody's been given it. Suck it up. You're not better than anybody else. You don't have more love or less love than anybody else. You've been given the love of Christ by God. Now can we get motivated to do something with it? Can we start helping those who are downtrodden realize how special it is? Can we help people realize that have been cast aside by church, pushed aside by church, hypocritically judged by church, looked down upon by the church, that this church has doors wide open, hearts wide open, God wide open, love wide open for anybody and anyone that's interested in finding out and realizing the love of God in their lives? It's how you conduct yourself in the car park.
Which is a great car park, by the way.
It's how you conduct yourself at Walmart. It's how you conduct yourself at the store. You can't be all love of God here and grumpy out there. Don't you dare give Victory Life Church a bad name for the love of God by how your face is always grumpy and turned down. You are ambassadors for the love that we express here. Am I making sense? I had a great experience at church today, so your face is all smiley on a Sunday, but man, looks like you've eaten a lemon and a lime on a Monday morning. Then people look at you with a scowled face and they go, what did you do this weekend? Went to church? What church you at? That snake-eating church there called Victory Life? Whatever. Beam with the love of God that you've been given. Shine it out. Give it away. And that's why here at the church, we want to say our life groups that are now going to be called groups aren't about going to a group to go, oh, we had a great group last night. No, the groups here are about making sure people can get connected to the love of God. And that connection is going to be to a group of people that come every single week with a focus on not what they can get, but what they can give to those around them. That's what our groups are. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're to serve God and serve others. So our life groups, our groups, are not for the unprepared. They're for the prepared. For people that go to church looking to incite one another to love and fine works. For people that go to groups that are being led. Your leaders are just coordinators. They're not leading. You don't go there and go, oh, my leader said I must do this. No, no. You go and tell the leader what the Lord has placed on your heart. You go and tell others. You go to that group. Find a group, whether it's playing golf, which is a divine revelation of God itself. Whether it's making knives, whether it's a Bible study group, whether the whole purpose of the groups in this church are to make sure that people who walk in there, strangers, get connected and become friends during the week with people of like mind. Your job, oh, I could never lead a group. Why not? Doesn't God love you enough? Amen. If you're going, hey, I do this craft, I do this thing, I rebuild 63 convertibles, I don't know, whatever you do, form a group out of it as an opportunity to gather people around so you can push the love of Jesus to them. How cool is that? Can you start doing something with what God has given you for other people? Get into a group, lead a group. Text 97,000, Brownwood to 97,000, and you can make a choice. I can either lead a group or I can be in a group. Just let Pastor Joey know that, hey, I want to be in a group. I want to lead a group. And if you want to lead a group, he'll get hold of you. You can even get hold of him. You can schedule time in his calendar all by texting Brownwood to 97,000. And you can get into his calendar and he'll meet with you and he'll get you running so that you can have an opportunity not just to be a leader, but to display love. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that we are not takers, but we are givers. We are not the kind of people that come to you hands out wide because we want something from you. No, we are the people that come to you and lift holy hands to a holy God that has loved us with everything he's got from the moment he got started with making us. Father, thank you that even though Adam and Eve turned around from that love, that you have given us the ability to turn back towards it. Thank you that I can change something in my life today that represents your love to others. Father, thank you that today I can put down my grumpiness. I can put down my bitterness. I can put down my unforgiveness. I can put down my harshness. That I can change my demeanor. I can change my face. And I can point my face towards you and your love and say, because of what I have received, I will do. Send us, O Lord. Stir up in us, O Lord, a heart that is focused on your love. Not how we can earn it, but Father God, how we can give it. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen and amen. Stand with me together as we go away. Remember, this week we are going to be focused on groups. Every single endurance rhythm post that we put out, any piece of information we put out, we'd like you to respond to groups. Not because we want you in them, but because we want you serving others through them. Amen? Amen. Wednesday night, you guys haven't decided on the subject that you'd like to discuss yet, so please can you let us have it quickly? We need to prepare. Remember, Wednesday night's all about the subjects that you post on Facebook. So if you have a subject you'd like to discuss on a Wednesday night, you just post it to Facebook. If we could have it before 4 o'clock on Wednesday, that'll be a help. So as soon as you guys get your act together and let us know what you want to speak about, we'll be able to prepare that for you. Is that okay? Right, Wednesday night, it's open mic night. So if you have any questions or thoughts you'd like to throw at us, please feel free to do so. Hey, online, we look forward to seeing you again really, really soon. For those of you around the world and around Brown County and surrounds, thank you so very much for joining us from wherever you are. Hey, guys, can we give a shout out to all the homes that are represented right now in our church? It's awesome. Look forward to seeing you again on Wednesday and on Sunday as we wrap up the series. Just think, by next Sunday, we won't have any of our physical goods. Leanne and I will no longer be in that derelict state of Oklahoma. It'll all be here in the great state of Texas. Amen. So pray for us this week as we shut down our home in Oklahoma and begin the great move of all of our things over. We look forward to giving you an update on that next Sunday. Sunday, we continue the series and wrap up the series of the endurance rhythms. And I look forward to teaching and preaching on the wonder and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the wonder of what that does on the inside of you in cementing all things, faith, hope, and love. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you again really, really soon. See you soon.